in the interest of just, we're rolling, so let's start. We welcome you. It is S3E3 of the Rivertown Review podcast. I'm Harold Smith.
I'm Megan Rapp.
And we have a guest, I was going to say in studio, but we don't do this in studio anymore. This is the traveling podcast now, because last time we did this, we were in Megan's kitchen because she didn't have internet in her office, but now we are in her office. Once we get in January, this is not much of a view that we have out our window here from Megan's office. You have quite a view upon our corner of the world here, don't you?
We've seen weird things out this window, actually. Uh-huh. I mean, sometimes you see cats looking for mice, and you see rabbits, and we saw deer get smoked by a vehicle and then get up and run away. So it wasn't a tragic ending. It was a twist ending there.
Yeah. I mean basically we are looking at I-72 going across our view, and we've got Mark Twain Avenue and all kinds of stuff going on.
Delightful view of an off ramp. I mean, what more could you ask for?
That's right. We've got the off-ramp and the on-ramp here, and it's just
surprising number of woodland creatures when it's when it's in spring and summer.
Yeah,
but the nature view.
Yeah,
and there's
just
some.
It's like a nature documentary with a little bit of traffic.
just put a camera right there, and it would be a thing. Yeah, Mackenzie Disselhorst is with us from the Hannibal Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for, you were available, so we made...
That's a high bar. To be a guest here.
Oh, brother.
I was going to say, you also had to wait like 5 minutes for an intro because we were talking about traffic.
And we were talking when Mackenzie was with us before. I think we kind of hijacked about the first half of it, and she had all this stuff to do, and she's brought stuff to talk about now, but... We just start and we go. We thank you for joining us. We said this a long time ago, and I think it's probably more true than ever now, is that everybody basically has a podcast. We were probably the last two people in the world to actually do a podcast. Although, being an old radio guy, I fully acknowledge, but there's so much. They will take radio shows, and if you want to hear this, you can listen to our podcast. That's not a podcast. That's recycled radio. Just don't even. But podcast is a thing, and
we're not the worst. I've listened to some bad ones. They have horrible audio, terrible editing.
There are internal mics in a laptop, and they will take a laptop and they'll set it in the middle of the room and have four or five people somewhere in the general vicinity, and they'll just talk at the laptop. No.
So we thank you for listening to the not worst audio podcast.
Yes, that's right. Yes, Hannibal's original podcast. And all of that good stuff, and you can find it everywhere, and I don't say where because you found us, obviously, since you're listening. Yeah. Mackenzie is here. You have been the executive director of the Hannibal Chamber for a while now.
11 years. Time flies, and we're having fun.
That's the thing, yes. Mm-hmm. And the last time that Megan and I got together, we talked a little bit about... because that was our post-COVID episode, and we talked a little bit about the community bouncing back and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you have a pretty good view of that kind of thing from where you sit. So how about Hannibal bouncing back? Are we? I mean, I don't know that anybody will ever be where they were prior to the spring of 2020. But how's Hannibal doing?
I think the interesting thing that I've seen is that where people have bounced to has really dramatically been different based on what industry they're in. We had a lot of businesses that did really well because of our location here on the state line, and things were not shut down here as much as they were in other places.
It became quite a contrast between Missouri and Illinois, didn't it?
So some of our businesses actually did a lot better than you would expect. Some obviously didn't fare as well. And I think my 7-year-old is playing basketball now, and this is just an offshoot, but it kind of does make sense. I was saying, you've got a rebound. And she's like, I don't know where the ball is going to come to when it comes back down. I don't know where it's going to go. It's not predictable. And I'm like, I get that. I feel like it's that way with our businesses. Like, COVID threw everyone's ball up, and some landed in a really great place, and others didn't so much. And there's really not a lot of rhyme or reason to it sometimes, to be honest.
And there's been quite a few basketball terms that were also COVID terms, like rebounding and pivoting.
Oh, pivot. Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like the best and now worst word ever.
Ever, yeah.
You know, I think what I'm seeing right now really is that everyone is trying to find what the baseline is now. And some people's COVID time was not good and they're on the upswing. And some people had a really inflated, you know, business during COVID and now it's starting to even back out. And so really, you know, watching people try to make projections about what's going to happen in the next year or two based on the last few years is, it's a struggle. I think that's probably the biggest challenge I see right now with people is just trying to figure out, you know, how do we plan? How do we budget? What do we expect? Because things have either been way down or way up, and there's not a lot of in between.
One term I'm so happy in this that you did not use, and speaking of phrases that we all got sick and tired of, the new normal.
Yeah.
I got tired of that really early on.
Yeah, there isn't one, so I just, let's eliminate that.
Normal is a town in Illinois that's just I'm pointing to the northeast. Bloomington
it's
and
next
normal.
To Bloomington.
If you're looking for normal, head that direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. While I'm thinking of it, and I mentioned to Megan, maybe touching on this a little bit, having been in radio, there were all kinds of things that I got a chance to help people like you, like Megan, promote along the way. And since I have, that's not the day job anymore, I'm getting to actually experience some of these things that I have helped you guys promote. And one of them was Leadership Hannibal.
Yeah.
I got in on that. And anybody, of course, our goal in this podcast, and early on we stated, you know, hopefully there would be somebody that listens to this that is maybe looking around for some place to call home. And, you know, we like to show people, you know,
our general awesomeness as a Hannibal community.
Exactly. Yeah. And once you get here and you get into a position where you're working for a business that is a part of the chamber, and the subject of Leadership Hannibal comes up, do not pass go. Go for it, because that is an amazing program.
I think one of the things that's changed a little bit for me with Leadership Hannibal, I used to really get a lot of satisfaction when we had somebody who came to Leadership Hannibal because their employer sent them. They've lived here their whole life, they've worked here their whole career, and you are not going to teach them anything about Hannibal in their opinion. They usually end up being one of the biggest advocates for the program when you get done. And so seeing that transformation has always been just really satisfying, you know, to watch that total mindset shift. But now I have Harold saying, all those years we talked about Leadership Hannibal, now I found out it's worth the hype. I'm like, yes, that is my new standard.
Yeah. And like you said, I was one of those, and the first session we had with we went through the historic district, and Henry Sweets, of course, is doing the whole tour, and at some point he sidles up to me and kind of out of the side of his mind, he says, you could have done this tour, you know. But I'm not, Henry. You are the man. But you know, I learned I got to take a tour of General Mills, you know, that and with the headphones and the earplugs and the hat and the funny shoes and the steel-toed shoes and the whole bit, and that, you know, that was the one thing I'm going, wow.
Yeah, you can't understand the magnitude of what is produced right here in Hannibal until you are in there and see it. I mean, they can tell you X number of million cans of soup are produced every day, but until you see that, you don't grasp it fully.
And of course, you and I did an episode all because, what, the guy who was the head of Underwood?
The Red Devil Ham Company.
The Red Devil Ham Company.
Which is why it's called Red Devil Road. And it was Red Devil Ham Company, and he was a fan of Mark Twain and decided to put a factory here for Red Devil Ham Company, which would then become...
Yes.
Probably be bought out by...
It was Pillsbury and...
Underwood
was,
and... Yeah, Underwood was that before Red Devil? I don't remember.
Underwood was... Yeah. I mean, Underwood Deviled Ham was the key product, and then it became Pillsbury, and then it became General Mills, and like you say, you know, we know... intellectually that, you know, if you have a can of Progresso soup anywhere in the world, it was made in Hannibal.
Yeah.
But to see the vastness of this, you know, with the taco shells and the Progresso soup and all of this kind of thing is just amazing. And, you know, everything that you learn about tourism, Megan was a part of, was one mm-hmm. of the presenters in about when it comes to the marketing end of this and all of that. Yeah, you have an opportunity to do Leadership Hannibal. You need to do it.
Yeah, and I actually just had a meeting with another Leadership Hannibal graduate from your group this morning, and she said, "What do I do with all this? You know, like I have learned so much. I've never been to some of these places. I didn't know so many of these things. Like, what do I do with this? Like, that's your challenge
for it
now.
And
yeah.
you spread the information.
You connect, and
right.
You yeah. can say, oh, Hannibal doesn't have anything going on. You can say, no, wait.
No. Au contraire. Yeah. No. Matter of fact, you've got a colleague, Megan, that is a graduate of Leadership Hannibal.
Yes, our group sales manager here at the CVB has, she'll be, can we call it matriculating? She'll be graduating here next.
That's right.
Yeah.
She is a graduate of Leadership Hannibal, and someday I will be too.
Wait.
Maybe we can give you an honorary diploma or something.
I want to go to see General Mills.
Okay. We can make that happen.
Yeah, I am. I've presented at Leadership Hannibal for probably a good 8 or 9 years, and I've
make a note of that, Megan. Leadership Hannibal. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
Only needs to be a requirement for all department heads.
Yes,
there you go.
100%. And you would think a person whose job it is to promote the Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't always.
You might
sense.
Be one of the few people who would not necessarily learn a ton you did not already know, just because you do have to already be so connected and, you know, I mean,
I
there might
like
be things about...
I feel like I have the tourism
yeah,
day
education
pretty much
or government or healthcare or something.
I should hope so.
Yeah. I feel like I've got that day under my belt, but I'd be there anyway because I'm speaking at it. But some of the other places, some of the other things, yeah, the education
Oh, going through the vocational center there mm-hmm. at Vocation and Technical Center.
Yeah.
You know, that was enlightening as well, all of the things that they do, the graphic design and all the rest.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that that is an opportunity here, and obviously mm-hmm. I think, you know, we're going to see some growth in that facility, I guess, if you want to say that. And I'm excited to take future Leadership Hannibal groups to the expanded version of HCTC, because that'll be even more of a draw for our area and a resource for not only our students, but our employers too.
The most recently Sunderland. Before that, it was mm-hmm. it was. I don't know if it was ever Shopko or whether it just closed when it was still Jack's. I don't know, but anybody knows that stretch of McMaster's Avenue knows where we're talking about. But that's going to be expanded mm-hmm. into more of the Vocational and Technical Center. Yeah,
I have a look of pontification on my face because I'm trying to remember if it was a Shopko. Yeah. I feel like it was a Shopko.
It I would think it would have
maybe.
Been.
I don't remember. Yeah. I just remember it being Sutherland.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember Jack.
And it was Jack's. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Guess my birthday. No. My name is Megan. Guess what decade I was born in. Anyway.
Oh my. This is a complete offshoot, but.
We call them digressions.
One of our chamber members the other day said, "I am going to a professional conference, and they asked me to send a picture of myself from the 70s. She was probably born in the 90s, okay? So I'm like, what kind of conference asks that?
Send a picture of your parents.
Now I have questions.
Yeah.
Send a picture of your parents.
Are you sure you went to the right conference?
Take a picture of one of those fuzzy old-style sonograms.
Was someone so out of touch who's planning this that... Anyway, so don't do that if you're planning an event.
What not to do when making icebreakers or whatever for your group event. Don't do that, especially when you have a wide range of age groups.
Yeah. Well, okay, so if we're going to digress that way, I'm going to digress one other way, and I find this to be hilarious. So obviously I work in tourism, work in Missouri tourism, because I live in Missouri. There are now, apparently, people born in the Megan era, because you don't hear a lot of babies being born named Megan anymore. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or at least not as many as you used to. And so there are now, in positions where we go to conferences, there are now 7 Megans in Missouri tourism. 2 of them actually work for the Division of Tourism. But, I mean, we're scattered all over. We haven't covered southeast Missouri. But other than that, there's one in central, there's one in northeast, northwest, southwest. So it's like, and we all spell it the same. We all don't, none of us have that useless H in there. Nope.
I feel like Missouri Tourism is missing the mark a little bit with Mo. Because apparently it needs to be Megan.
Apparently it needs. We have talked about
Megan is waiting to greet
having hashtag Mo Megans, because we do in Missouri right now in tourism. There's a lot of Megans.
It's like there's a helpful smile in every aisle. There's a helpful Megan in every corner of the state.
In almost every corner of the state. Yes. Give us a call, Southeast Missouri. You're missing out.
That's
I know.
Right.
Very. It's very strange. But I think it just says a lot about like where people are in their career progression.
So are you all approximately the same age?
Yeah, like I would say within like a 15 to 18 year range.
Okay, yeah.
It's quite humorous. And there were 5 of us at a conference. And so we do have a picture of 5 of us. And then we became a 6-pack because the 6th one was added. And then I can't remember the newest one from somewhere. And so now there are 7 of us.
So those hello, my name is things would be kind of useless, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
Like, that'd be really fun to go into that meeting room and be like, Megan!
And 7 people go, yeah? Mm-hmm. What?
It's pretty fantastic. So I digress.
So yeah.
Yes.
But Leadership Hannibal is great, and don't give up name tags, because I don't think that there'll be that many people with the same name.
Yeah, we've never had that many Megans, or any one single name in any of our classes. Yeah.
Probably not.
And I've never asked for a picture of them in the 70s either.
In 2023, that is a very strange request, I feel. I feel like it's a weird request.
Of course, it's a little, it's a little sobering for me to understand that, realize that the 70s was 50 years ago. I graduated from high school in 71. So, yeah. So I'll just, I'll get my walker and I'll try not to trip over my beard as I leave here.
We've got a ramp.
Yes, you do, and boy, am I glad. Yeah, I came down the ramp instead of trying to go the spiral staircase with all of my stuff here. But anyhow.
We could probably get this back on track by talking about being inclusive or something.
Exactly.
Something. Yeah, pick a topic. Let's go down another.
Inclusivity means don't ask for pictures from the early 70s or any 70s, and also make sure that you're accessible.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. And now, right, just like that, we've segued back into chamber business. You are welcome, Harold.
Back to the Hannibal Rivertown Review podcast in just a moment. If you like what you hear, be sure and subscribe and leave us a review. And if you have a suggestion for a future episode, email us at rivertownreview@gmail.com.
Another thing that we've been, working on at the Chamber, and this was great timing because it was post-COVID, although I'm not sure if we're ever completely post-COVID, but we'll go with that.
We've
we'll
reached
roll with
endemic
it.
Stage.
Post-pandemic. Yeah.
Yes, we are. In the endemic stage of things, we have been working on a new strategic plan for the Chamber. So the timing of that is just perfect, coming off of years that you can't predict anyway. So why don't we try? We'll just go a new direction.
Yeah. So when you talk about the term strategic plan, that may go over some people's heads. Yeah.
Or people might also cringe because they've been through strategic planning processes that have gone nowhere.
Yeah.
When I hear strategic plan, I just kind of like have a twitch because I've gone through several of those in different organizations that I've been a part of, And then you get the binder.
Yeah, no, we don't have a binder.
Or you get the document and it sits in, you know, in the cloud.
In a bookcase.
Or on a bookcase. So I'm actually interested
dust around it once in a while.
Exactly, and, yeah, yeah. So I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah, our process was not like that at all. We actually worked with a consultant, which another, you know, probably some eye rolls, but the consultant we worked with just works with chambers doing strategic planning across the country. So it was really interesting to see his process and hear his feedback because that is what he does. He came in, we had all of our board members there for a day. He also, prior to that, went and talked to several of our businesses, you know, looked around the community so he could get an idea of what is possible for the business community in Hannibal. And then we just took that information and sat down as a board and said, okay, here's where we are. Here are some of the needs. Where are we going to go? How are we going to address these? And so we kind of came up with three big pillars, you know, enough to have plenty to work on, but not so much that it gets overwhelming and you put it back in the bookshelf and pretend it doesn't exist.
And dust around it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some of those grow and diversify the chamber, which, you know, we were talking about inclusivity. That's kind of what brought me back to the strategic plan storytelling, you know, realizing that obviously Megan and her crew are doing a great job telling the story of Hannibal to tourists and people who are potentially coming here from outside of our area. But what about the gap of people here in the area? Again, like Leadership Hannibal, there are so many people, one person that didn't know we had an arts council that's worked in this community for 15 years. How do you not know that?
Wow.
One person that had never been to Java Jive, lifelong resident.
What?
Yeah. You know, so there's obviously a gap in...
Do they not drink coffee?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe, I mean, that could be the only reason I could think. Maybe if they didn't drink coffee and they thought it was only coffee?
I don't know.
Brief digression. Because something you were talking about one time, kind of on that subject, is that when it comes to Tom and Becky, that go up and down the streets of Hannibal, the people that don't know enough about Mark Twain to know who Tom and Becky are, and especially if Becky's by herself, when didn't you say they've been mistaken for Little Bo Peep?
Little Bo Peep.
Little Bo Peep. Yeah. Yeah, if they're not as a combo, and even sometimes when they are as a combo, they'll assume, you know, Huck Finn, which, I mean, hey, valid, carrying a fishing pole, you never know. Right? And you got the right, you know, character line, at least, you know.
Yeah, so you're in the neighborhood.
You're in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. but hey, that's what they're for, and the great thing is, they're well trained to talk about, and you know, they're not just gonna be like, no, I'm not Little Bo Peep, you idiot. No, yeah. they know how to pivot.
That's right. They can pivot.
I just want to point out, you know, from an outside perspective, looking at Tom and Becky program, what an amazing thing it is that we have that many kids at that age that want to dress in period clothes and go stroll downtown and greet visitors and talk to people. I mean, that generation doesn't talk to people, right?
They're walking around with their
noses in their devices.
Even if they weren't willing at first, that they're willing enough to listen when their, you know, parental figure of whoever mm-hmm. says, you're going to try out for that. Mm. You know, I am a Tom and Becky convert. When I first moved here, actually before I even moved here, and I had heard about the program, I thought it was the strangest thing I'd ever heard. And it was so strange. But the actual visiting with the public and the fact that it's all free and that, mm-hmm. you know, they can get pictures taken and just encouraging people to ask the kids questions or even just to talk to them, because adults don't talk like they used to either.
Right.
I mean, we're just as guilty of being in our screens as anybody else. And so, just always trying to encourage our groups, at least, especially from a CVB standpoint, of encouraging groups to book a Tom and Becky mm-hmm. so that they can do a welcome and that they can answer questions about Hannibal.
And to have young ladies and gentlemen of that age, these are junior high, mm-hmm. these are seventh grade kids, mm-hmm. and as articulate as they are, you know, I always go back to when Oh, I was such a fanboy when Small Town Big Deal came to town.
I have
interviewed Hal Holbrook and Kenny Rogers and Ed Asner, and but when Jan and Rodney came to town, I was just
but, you did it well, but I know.
I did my best, but they were just blown away. Mm-hmm. I mean, that we did a podcast with them and had them on the radio, and you know, they stole the show as far as that particular when they did put that episode together. But yeah, they just went on and on and on about these seventh graders, these young teenagers, and how articulate and how mm-hmm. you know, at ease that they were.
And we have the Chamber to thank for that original program.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it was under the auspices of the Chamber mm-hmm. for years and years, and mm-hmm. then I think I don't know if it was another formal strategic plan, but it was a planning process mm-hmm. that said, you know, this is a great program, but it would be better housed under the Mark Twain Boy at Home Museum, which makes sense because they're Mark Twain characters and, you know, they're ambassadors. So it
couldn't have gone as far as the transition goes. I mean, Melissa was doing it with the Chamber and just made the transition over and it all goes.
We've spun off a lot of things over the years. In fact, I think tourism is one of those things, economic development. I think way back in the day, used to be, maybe it started as a committee of the Chamber or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, lots of things over the years, way before we were around.
Well, I mean,
all in great ideas.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
someone else can take it and we'll start something else new.
Exactly. Like dandelion, you know, you just mm-hmm. poof, and then all the seeds go and then more things pop up, but in a good way, not like in a weed.
I was going to say, comparing the Chamber of Commerce to a dandelion, okay.
That's a new one.
Well, I mean, you don't, you know, roses don't have those nice little things where you can go in the
seeds.
There's
no visual
everywhere.
With that.
There's no visual.
Yeah, just carried by the wind. But I mean, how long has the Hannibal Chamber of Commerce been in existence?
Yeah, since 1894. Somebody mm-hmm. said recently, why don't you, like, tell a story about your oldest chamber member? I'm like, well, I think I'd have a hard time getting that information because our roots go back to 1894 and we didn't do a stellar job of keeping all those papers from those years.
Because you've got your annual meeting. As we sit here mm-hmm. on Friday the 13th, you've got your mm-hmm. annual meeting coming up, and that's how many annual?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
100 year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Exactly,
a lot.
Yeah.
We haven't had an annual meeting every year. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, we celebrated 125 years when Rich Stille was our president. So that was probably 3 years ago or so. So we're probably around 128, 129. But I think we're only at like the 114th annual meeting, maybe.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've had a couple of things happen since the 1890s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we had a couple of world wars.
Right. Mm-hmm. Spanish flu, COVID.
I mean, so there's probably been a couple of years where you don't really have a banquet laid out a little bit.
Yeah, but obviously amazing tradition.
And not to mention the fact that the Chamber is forward-thinking. So sometimes in a forward-thinking organization, when you're looking towards the future, history documentation doesn't quite get, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't stay.
We've got city directories in the library, I'm sure.
Because as interesting as it might be, there are a few things I think that 1894 wouldn't really have to do with today, so.
No. I mean, we don't really usually have to deal with, you know, people's horses being tied up in front of businesses.
Although I do have a really great picture of a couple of horses in front of the powder room from a few years ago on Small Business Saturday, so. It's funny you mention that.
That's fantastic.
just never know what you're going to see here.
That is true.
Well, that's
why I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean recent pictures?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
She said the powder room, not the building where the powder room is now.
Yeah, okay. All
right. It was either 2017 or 2018. We had a lot of, like, kind of snowy, icy that day on Small Business Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I was down there early trying to, I don't know what I thought I was going to do, shovel sidewalks or something maybe. But at any rate, somebody rode their horses downtown because it was kind of slick.
Horses have all-wheel drive.
a lot of horsepower to get through the snow.
Exactly. I mean, hey, you know what? That's the best. That's a great thing about Hannibal. Yeah. You never know.
That's right. Oh, you never.
That's why you have to come to Hannibal, because you never know what you're going to see and/or experience. Yeah. Could be horses.
Colorful characters just everywhere.
I remember one day when we were down at the corner of Main and Broadway chasing the Noosa yogurt truck. Because, like, no one here knew what Noosa yogurt was at that time. So they, like, stopped in the parking lot at the theater. And I don't think anyone went over there. And by the time I realized, you know, what was going on, they were getting ready to pull out. I'm like, stop. This is so cool.
What are you?
Yeah, why are you here? But, okay, can I have some yogurt?
Things just happen like that. Yeah. You just never know. This town, it's
spontaneity.
The river. It's got to be the fault of the river. Does things to people.
Yeah.
It's the
fluid, the motion, the creativity. It attracts creative people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Always has. That's why we still have such a great artist community. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, obviously it's always been used for transportation, et cetera, but yeah, it's just something people love to go to the beach. People love to be around bodies of water.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, think about, like, the views of the river. Everyone wants a river view, right?
Don't try to go to a park during prom or homecoming if you want solitude.
Right.
Because everybody's going to be getting pictures in front of the river because
right.
It's lovely. And
Yeah. Whether it's this brand new shiny riverfront that we have, or, of course, the quintessential background for whatever group picture there is Riverview Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That, you can look at the background and you go, oh, yeah. I had a friend several years ago that, it was one of those things where he posted a picture, him and his wife, you could see in the background, and they posted this, guess where I am? And people were guessing all of these things, and the guy knew me, and so he tagged me, and he said, help me out here and tell people. And so I took a close look at the picture. He was on Lover's Leap. So I saw the background of downtown Hannibal. I'm going, ha. So,
we have all the padlocks on Lover's Leap, like Paris.
I just recently heard about that, the padlocks.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Like, you can chime in here, Megan, but it's, I think, something along the lines of you and your loved one go up there and put your lock on the fence and throw the key and it can't ever come off. It's like a...
symbolic of...
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Of a commitment.
Of love forever.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Sounds like something...
Paris and... Jeff City did it a couple of years ago. Well, when I say Jeff City did it, I feel like people do it.
Right, yeah.
And then cities either, like, come down on, everybody stop putting these locks because it's weighing down. They had a problem, a couple places have had problems because people have done it on bridges, and they're like,
ooh,
no, you can't do it on bridges
because
it adds weight. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
So that's understandable. But then other places, if you're just, it's on a fence, it becomes a thing. It becomes a thing, and people can do it, and then it makes for pretty pictures, and it's...
I have been trying to figure out for years why people want to visit the Bubblegum in Seattle at Pike Place Market. There's a whole place downstairs there where you go stick your gum on the wall and tons of people take pictures there. I'm like, this is the most bizarre thing ever. The locks are not too far from that, but at least they are...
a little bit more sanitary.
Yeah.
Bubblegum on a wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look that up.
Now, of course, I'm old enough. You had gum in school. You'd stick it under your desk, and under office tables and desks and that kind of thing. But just on a wall, people take pictures
mm-hmm.
of it. Okay.
Sounds like there was a creative janitor, possibly, or a maintenance person. It was like, actually, this
we could control our gum problem.
It will be all in one place. This could maybe become something we're known for.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to pay for it. There's
mm-hmm.
no upkeep.
Don't have to clean it up.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's actually, yeah.
I mean, that's turning lemons into lemonade
mm-hmm.
right there, or chewed gum into a weird art piece. So, yeah. I'm here for it.
Art,
whatever.
Art can be anything.
Yeah. I'm not going to make a special trip out to see it, but if I saw it, I'd be like, well, that's cool.
Yeah, I was kind of like, ew.
Art is in the eye of the beholder or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, well, and so back to the strategic.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I'm assuming
gum art was
maybe
not part
gum
of it.
Art
no.
was not.
Probably not.
Wasn't put in pen. But, I mean, I'm not that I'm recommending it. But the strategic plan sounds like it was a much more fluid, like I said, some people have a strategic plan, like just involuntary reaction because you do
yeah,
this,
it sounds
and you
boring.
Do this, and you do this, and yeah, and it's boring, and it usually involves stickers, and you put stickers on a board, and it's somebody that does strategic planning for chambers, but also for, like, coffee shops and mm-hmm. hotels and, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's a very generic process.
It's a huge, yeah, very generic. Like, okay, yes, here I'm at a factory today, and tomorrow I'm going to be helping a church, and then the next day I'll be at a horse farm. Yeah.
And trying to do it all the same way, square pegs Cookie and round
cutter.
Holes and all mm-hmm. that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's fun because it, you know, just gives you a new direction and gets everybody on board going in the same direction. And that's a big deal sometimes.
And this, yeah, you say that, and to have, well, the Historic Hannibal Marketing Council comes to mind. I mm-hmm. mean, all of the things that this group has been able to do, and, you know, quintessentially, you've got the same group, same small, tight group of people that are trying to do everything. And, of course, as many festivals as we have, you can't do that. You're going to burn everybody out. But there are people that step up for each of these events. Most of them, it's HHMC. Of course, you mm-hmm. have the GCs with mm-hmm. Tom Sawyer Days and all of the rest. But, you know, to have the people, I mean, without the people, it doesn't go.
Right.
Yeah, you
right.
got to have those people dedicated enough to step up and get it done.
Yeah.
And anytime Hannibal has an event, everybody shows up. It doesn't matter. You know, whether it's Twain on Main or Chocolate Extravaganza or Steampunk or Tom Sawyer Days or the
Great Girlfriend Getaway, Great Pumpkin mm-hmm. Palooza, mm-hmm. October, let's see, the Haunted Halloween Festival, mm-hmm. Victorian Festival of Christmas. I'm sure I'm already forgetting.
Steampunk, we talked about that.
And people, especially now, when Megan, when you did your presentation for Leadership Hannibal, the people, what was it, revenge tourism, or what was the
yes,
term?
Yeah, revenge tourism, which sounds scary, but it's not. It was just the fact that people, you know, during COVID were cooped up, and a lot of them, you know, maybe they had health conditions, maybe they had friends or relatives that had health conditions, maybe they just, you know, didn't feel like traveling, you know, whatever reason, a lot of people stayed close to home. Or if they did take a trip, maybe it would be a small one, or maybe it would be to just an outdoor location. So then once it kind of reached the endemic stage, they're like, we're gonna go, we've been saving money for 2 years, we haven't done anything, and we're going to go places. So whoosh.
And so
hence
here,
revenge tourism.
And mm-hmm. so and here we sit going, hi.
Exactly. Exactly. Not so much a, you know, you killed my father, prepare to die. That's not that kind of revenge. It's they're coming back with a vengeance. They're coming and they're traveling and they're doing lots.
Do you think we're gonna see that level out this year?
I think it will be I still think it'll be a little higher, mm-hmm. but it will start to level out.
Yeah.
Last year, Missouri as a state didn't reach 2019 levels of tourism, but 2019 levels of tourism that were also a record, like an all-time record for tourism.
Ah.
And last year wasn't far behind. And so I think it'll probably be similar. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking fiscal years.
Right.
I'm not
going
to go. But yeah, I think it's going to be about the same. And then again, a lot of it is kind of dependent on what businesses do mm-hmm. because, you know, people, I mean, who would have thought QR codes would come back? And now everybody uses QR codes.
Yes.
And that's an easy thing for people to do. So if, you know, you've got information out there and people want more information, they just click a QR code. They don't have to remember your website. They don't have to. So it really depends on how the attractions and how restaurants and how, you know, all the places people want to go, how they are moving forward and adjusting to what people are doing now.
Yeah.
Kenzie, thank you for making strategic planning interesting.
Yeah, it actually can be. So, mythbuster of the day.
Yeah.
Strategic planning is not always awful.
And the fact that you got an all-volunteer board,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, I mean, obviously they're civic-minded, they're community-minded,
right.
otherwise they wouldn't be on the chamber board, but,
yeah.
you know, now they're all swimming down the Mississippi
yeah.
in the same direction.
Yeah.
You've
and
got things to do.
Not only
on.
They showed up, but they really kind of put their hearts on their sleeves and talked about what was important, even if it wasn't always easy, and we just couldn't have asked for a better process with that. So many good things have already come out of that, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, kind of being able to show the community the rest of them. So
I mean, we got two great takeaways. We've got strategic planning can be not boring
can
and
be
can
fun.
Be interactive. And also, just because you've lived in Hannibal all your life, you still need to go and be a part of Leadership Hannibal.
Yeah.
Beg your employer. I don't know. Have a bake sale. Raise some money and get into Leadership Hannibal.
And if you can't go to Leadership Hannibal, come see me and I will help connect you with things you might not know.
Exactly, yes.
And I talk about all of the tours and everything, but I had never been to the Rebel Pig before. And that was my first chance to go the day we had the... I talk about General Mills. I think the second most fascinating mm-hmm. part, you know what I'm going to say, mm-hmm. since we're talking about Palmyra, the second most fascinating part of the Leadership Hannibal was the tour of the Marion County Jail. Yeah, that was there were a lot of people going, wow.
There were some mind-blowing moments, and we shall not get into all of them here on the air.
No.
But yes.
We try to keep it a family
uh-huh,
friendly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Of course, you know, in my, you know, having come from radio, and we've talked about this before, you know, I the good thing about a podcast is I'm not necessarily bound by FCC regulations as far as this is concerned. But no, the one I'm thinking about, the one story I'm thinking about that you probably are too, no, we shouldn't tell.
No. You have to come to Leadership Hannibal to hear that story.
And we may not follow FCC regulations, but we do try to not talk about things that will keep you up at night and haunt your nightmares.
Let's not do that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a good day. And again, just kind of showing off a little bit more than just in Hannibal, you know, taking people up there, the Marion County Jail, obviously it's part of our county. It's not in Hannibal, the Rebel Pig. You know, sometimes people are like, why are you going to the Rebel Pig? They are a Hannibal Area Chamber of Commerce.
It is the Hannibal Area Chamber of Commerce. That's right.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Disselhorst, we thank you for enlightening us on strategic planning and on Leadership Hannibal. I'm Harold Smith.
And I'm Megan Rapp.
And we will be back. Thank you for joining us. And this is the Hannibal Rivertown Review Podcast, and we'll see you next time.